Well, I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Now, let's join together in song with hymn number 58.
Come we daily then, dear Father, open hearts and willing hands, eager ears, expectant, joyful, ready for thy right commands. We would hear no other voices, we would heed no other call. Thou alone art good and gracious, thou our mind and thou our all.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is willingness to serve God. Just before I begin, I'd like to read a very short poem by Mary Stone Wallace entitled Gateway of Willingness from the 16th of September 1944 issue of the Christian Science Sentinel. There is a willingness akin to grace in humble hearts where love is given place. The Christly thought sent forth to heal and bless finds entrance at the gate of willingness. I shall now read from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible, as well as correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible. St. Matthew. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. First Chronicles. And David said to Solomon, Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Gospel of St. John. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. From 2 Corinthians. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. As ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath. And now from Isaiah, 1 Chronicles, and Revelation. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Christian Science separates error from truth and breathes through the sacred pages the spiritual sense of life, substance, and intelligence. It is sad that the phrase divine service has come so generally to mean public worship instead of daily deeds. Our Heavenly Father, divine love, demands that all men should follow the example of our Master and his apostles, and not merely worship his personality. Who is ready to follow his teaching and example? All must sooner or later plant themselves in Christ, the true idea of God. that he might liberally pour his dear-bought treasures into empty or sin-filled human storehouses, was the inspiration of Jesus' intense human sacrifice. His hearers understood neither his words nor his works. They would not accept his meek interpretation of life, nor follow his example. Are you willing to leave all for Christ's truth, and so be counted among sinners? If unwilling to follow his example, why pray with the lips that you may be partakers of his nature? If good enough to profit by Jesus' cup of earthly sorrows, God will sustain us under these sorrows. Until we are thus divinely qualified and are willing to drink his cup, millions of vain repetitions will never pour into prayer the unction of spirit in demonstration of power and with signs following. We know that a desire for holiness is requisite in order to gain holiness. But if we desire holiness above all else, we shall sacrifice everything for it. We must be willing to do this, that we may walk securely in the only practical road to holiness. Humanity advances slowly out of sinning sense into spiritual understanding. Unwillingness to learn all things rightly binds Christendom with chains. Acquaintance with the original texts and willingness to give up human beliefs established by hierarchies and instigated sometimes by the worst passions of men, open the way for Christian science to be understood and make the Bible the chart of life where the buoys and healing currents of truth are pointed out. The truth taught by Jesus, the elders scoffed at. Why? Because it demanded more than they were willing to practice. It was enough for them to believe in a national deity, but that belief from their time to ours has never made a disciple who could cast out evils and heal the sick. Jesus established in the Christian era the precedent for all Christianity, theology, and healing. Christians are under his direct orders now as they were then to be Christ-like, to possess the Christ spirit, to follow the Christ example, and to heal the sick as well as the sinning. It is easier for Christianity to cast out sickness than sin, for the sick are more willing to part with pain than are sinners to give up the sinful so-called pleasure of the senses. The author has raised up the dying, partly because they were willing to be restored. While she has struggled long and perhaps in vain to lift a student out of a chronic sin. Today, though rejoicing in some progress, she still finds herself a willing disciple at the heavenly gate, waiting for the mind of Christ. Jesus loved little children because of their freedom from wrong and their receptiveness of right. While age is halting between two opinions or battling with false beliefs, youth makes easy and rapid strides towards truth. A little girl who had occasionally listened to my explanations badly wounded her finger. She seemed not to notice it. On being questioned about it, she answered ingenuously, "There is no sensation in matter." Bounding off with laughing eyes, she presently added, "Mama, my finger's not a bit sore." Some invalids are unwilling to know the facts or to hear about the fallacy of matter and its supposed laws. They devote themselves a little longer to their material gods, cling to a belief in the life and intelligence of matter, and expect this error to do more for them than they are willing to admit the only living a true God can do. Impatient at your explanation, unwilling to investigate the science of mind which would rid them of their complaints, they hug false beliefs and suffer the delusive consequences. A case of dropsy given up by the faculty fell into my hands. I prescribed the fourth attenuation of argentum nitratum with occasional doses of a high attenuation of sulfurous. She improved perceptibly, Believing then somewhat in the ordinary theories of medical practice and learning that her former physician had prescribed these remedies, I began to fear an aggravation of symptoms from their prolonged use and told the patient so. But she was unwilling to give up the medicine while she was recovering. It then occurred to me to give her unmedicated pellets and watch the result. I did so, and she continued to gain. Finally, she said that she would give up her medicine for one day and risk the effects. After trying this, she informed me that she could get along 2 days without globules, but on the third day she again suffered and was relieved by taking them. She went on in this way, taking the unmedicated pellets and receiving occasional visits from me, but employing no other means, and she was cured. Metaphysics, as taught in Christian Science, is the next stately step beyond homeopathy. In metaphysics, matter disappears from the remedy entirely, and mind takes its rightful and supreme place. That mortal mind claims to govern every organ of the mortal body, we have overwhelming proof. But this so-called mind is a myth, and must by its own consent yield to truth. The immortal, divine mind takes away all its supposed sovereignty and saves mortal mind from itself. Truth has a healing effect, even when not fully understood. Christian Science brings to the body the sunlight of truth, which invigorates and purifies. Christian Science acts as an alterative, neutralizing error with truth. It changes the secretions, expels humors, dissolves tumors, relaxes rigid muscles, restores carious bones to sound. The effect of this science is to stir the human mind to a change of base on which it may yield to the harmony of the divine mind. When you say man's body is material, I say with Paul, be willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Give up your material belief of mind in matter and have but one mind, even God, for this mind forms its own likeness. Willingness to become as a little child and to leave the old for the new renders thought receptive of the advanced idea. Gladness to leave the false landmarks and joy to see them disappear. This disposition helps to precipitate the ultimate harmony.